Hello and welcome to Animates. This is the program that brings you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Elaine Jontek. We have a special guest today, Ashley Stevenson from the RSPCA. He's their General Manager Operations. And until late last year, just before the bushfire crisis, Ashley Stevenson was part of the corporate world, concentrating on business and finance. As a child, he had dogs, cats, rabbits, considered being a vet, and always admired the work of the RSPCA and its members who were so passionate about the welfare of animals. As the bushfire unfolded across the state, Ashley was immediately thrown into the important work of coordinating emergency evacuation points, mobilising staff and teams to assist wildlife burned in the fires, providing veterinary care to companion animals, fodder for livestock, and distributing pet food, medication and supplies. Welcome to the program. You've certainly joined the RSPCA at a busy time.
Yeah, look, it has been a busy time to join, but also a fantastic time to join. Certainly starting just as the bushfires were hitting was challenging, but I think it was a great time to come in and really understand the organisation and what it stands for. And it was just fantastic to see all of the staff rally together to really assist in the bushfire emergency program.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the work that you're doing with the RSPCA? Did you have pets growing up?
Yeah, I absolutely did. So I'm the General Manager of Operations here at the RSPCA in New South Wales. I always loved animals. Growing up, had pretty much every sort of pet that you can imagine. I had dogs and cats and birds, rabbits, guinea pigs, etc. Always loved animals. And I think for me, I'm a huge believer that animals make us as people happier people and better people as well. So I certainly appreciate the role that animals play in our lives.
So what was your role in organising the bushfire efforts?
As the General Manager of Operations, I'm really here to look at, as an organisation, how we respond to the bushfire crisis and then really get our teams geared towards the common objective, try and get as many of our staff out into the communities as possible. So we very quickly, when we understood the magnitude of the impact, stood up an emergency response team, which I led. It was just great to see everyone come together and have ideas on what the community and animals will need. So we initially sent teams of vets, of vet nurses, inspectors and other animal welfare experts out into communities that needed it most. So we were supporting evacuation centres, we were present at relief points, and really just trying to understand firstly what the impact on people and animals were, and then when we understood that, performing health check, treatments where we could, and hoping to rehabilitate as many animals as possible. We've since also put a program together to be out in communities every week, so we send teams out north, west and south to different locations to connect with the community, to offer health checks where we've got vets available, also provide fodder, medical supplies and any food or supplies that anyone needs for their animal.
Ashley, I wonder if you can give us any anecdotes with bushfire victims and their animals.
Yeah, look, Elaine, there's been so many of them. There's a couple that come to mind, but there was one family that had to evacuate very quickly and they managed to get their 13 dogs off their property. This is down on the south coast in a place called Mogo. But unfortunately, they didn't have time to evacuate their horses. And in the middle of the night, the daughter jumped on one of the horses and led the other three to the local RSS station. And she got all of her animals out. They were all safe, which was fantastic. And then after the bushfire cleared, they all returned back to the property. And unfortunately, they did lose their house, but they've been taking care of their 13 dogs and their horses on their property in their car and living in a tent. So there's some incredibly uplifting stories of how people have evacuated, taken care of their animals, and how they've returned to try and rebuild on their impacted property.
That must be tough, looking after 13 dogs and four horses when you'd have a house, but if you have only a car and your land.
Absolutely, really tough. And for that family, we were able to provide some kennels and some containment areas to assist them. And certainly we're there, and that's what our emergency assistance fund is there for, to help anyone that's in that sort of a situation.
I imagine that no 2 days are the same. And with the bushfires, the job has changed a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, it has absolutely changed. Obviously, when a bushfire hits, there's an immediate response, and that is, as I said, at evacuation centres and relief points. But then once the fires start to clear, it's really about understanding the animals that are in need and the people that are in need. And that's where we've really started to look at getting inspectors into burnt areas with vet to try and spot wildlife that might be burnt or dehydrated. It's going to local community town hall meetings to see how we can assist the community. And now we're starting to have discussions around really what should happen longer term. We know that this is going to be a long road ahead of us, and we certainly want to make sure that a lot of the very generous funds that we're getting donated to the RSPCA are also going to longer term programs to assist with wildlife and help families rebuild.
So you're helping the wildlife, but you're also helping the families.
Absolutely. Supporting people at evacuation centres and also through our emergency assistance fund. So anyone that needs assistance with either medical supplies, food, or even emergency boarding and medical treatments can apply for financial aid. But they just need to contact the RSPCA New South Wales website or give us a call, and we will absolutely support them with that. We also appreciate it. A lot of families that have lost their homes and fencing have issues with their livestock and containment of their companion animal. So we're trying to assist where we can there with kennels and dog runs and things like that, as well as feed like fodder, which is very much in need given the drought impacts then followed by the bushfires.
So animals have been very important. When people have had their houses burnt down and they have their dog for company, don't they? The animals must be a bit of a support going through all of this.
Oh, they absolutely are, and we've seen it play out just so strongly in some of the community work we've been doing. There's so many different examples of where people have lost everything and they've really relied on their animals for support. There was a man down in Cobargo who had a dog called Omi, and the community just knew how important that dog was to him, and he lost his home and he's now having to stay in emergency accommodation. But he kind of was the first one to say, my dog Omi is my absolute rock and is the reason why I've been able to get through it. We also had a team that were down at the Maruya Showground, and there was a dog down there, a Rottweiler, that just was providing so much support to the whole community down there. A lot of people weren't able to actually evacuate their pets or couldn't get them out quick enough. And this dog was just a companion to everyone and was putting his paw on people that he didn't even know and was just providing so much emotional support.
Isn't that marvellous? Well, we're supporting the animals are supporting us.
Absolutely, always the way.
So you mentioned to me earlier about a lady called Lorraine.
We came across Lorraine in a place about an hour south of Eden, and she, again, her house was in the middle of a national forest and there was fires all around it, and at one point she said that she couldn't even see a meter in front of her in the afternoon. It was pitch black when the fire hit. And 24 hours later, we got a team of inspectors and vets into the area to see if we could spot any wildlife that needed care and treatment. And some of the locals said to us, look, if you find anything, take it up to this lady named Lorraine. And we ended up rescuing a couple of wallabies and a wombat and got Lorraine's contact details, took it to her. And when we arrived, she was feeding a baby fawn. She was already taking care of another wallaby and two wombats that other locals had taken to her. So while she was incredibly impacted herself, she's there looking after the wildlife and was this go-to point for the community. And we've since been supporting her with access to vets and have sent a couple of vets up there to make sure that the animals are progressing well, and she's just doing such an incredible job caring for them.
So it must be very rewarding work, providing help as people start to rebuild their lives. Do you find it so, or is it really exhausting and a bit overwhelming?
Oh, look, it's incredibly rewarding work. I mean, it's hard when you're present in a community and you're hearing about the impact, the amount of people that have lost their homes, some that don't have insurance, some that just don't know where to start to rebuild. So that does take its toll on it. But when you realise that you can help, and even some of the smallest things that have a big impact for them, it is incredibly rewarding. In terms of the RSPCA New South Wales staff, I've been absolutely blown away by their willingness to put their own lives on hold and really get out to support the community and animals and people in need. But what I do acknowledge is it does take its toll, because we've got inspectors and vets and vet nurses that are unfortunately having to euthanize animals that are too sick to be treated and rehabilitated. And I know that does take its toll over time.
Can you tell us about the continuing efforts to help people and animals in the future?
Yeah, look, we've got a four-step program for how we're going to invest every single dollar that's been donated to us back into the community. So as I talked about, we've got the immediate response, which is getting our expertise out with food and fodder for those people that need it. We've set up the Emergency Assistance Fund for people that need financial aid. We're also investing in some mobile emergency equipment, so response units, so that we can respond better and more quickly when our future emergencies hit. And we also want to set aside some money to support a longer-term wildlife welfare program. So whether that's the RSPCA leading a piece for a particular species in need or a wildlife hospital, or whether that's us partnering with another wildlife organisation, we'll work through that. But we certainly appreciate the need for the longer-term rehabilitation piece for animals.
Have you got any advice to people how to cope with animals and fires? Are there some things that people should know but don't?
Look, I think first and foremost, like the RFS and everyone is saying, have a plan. So have your evacuation plan. Make sure that you include your animals in that and make sure you're prepared to take care of yourselves, to take care of your animals and your homes and your physical belongings. To the examples that I used before is we get an incredible amount out of our animals. So use them as emotional support, be there for their own well-being, but appreciate that they're an important part of your own dealing with what you're faced with as well, and be there for your community. One of the most amazing things that I've seen is the way that the community have rallied together, and we've got a lot of people that are coming to our relief point, not only for themselves, but to talk about neighbours that need support, and we're able to then get their details and proactively reach out and help them. So all I'd say is from an animal perspective, reach out to us, tell us what you need, we will help you, and also give the same advice to your neighbours and the community around you.
So do you need more volunteers?
Absolutely. I mean, for us, the two big things we need is one, as all charities and not-for-profits, is dollar donations. So dollar donations for us enable us to increase the Emergency Assistance Fund and give directly back to the community. Volunteers also the arms and legs to help us not only out in the field but in our clinics, in our vet hospitals and our shelters. To enable our staff to get out into the community would be absolutely fantastic. Sitting behind a lot of these processes is a lot of admin as well. So anyone that's experiencing admin, we would love them to come in and be part of this program.
That's great. So how much money has the RSPCA in New South Wales collected for this particular round of bushfires?
At the moment, we've collected $4.5 million. So it's a significant amount of money. And as I said before, an amount that we are committed to investing every single dollar of that back into the community.
That's great. So how can people get in touch? Do they go to the website?
Yeah, they can go to the RSPCA New South Wales website, or they can call our bushfire relief hotline, which is 1300 278 3589. So again, that's 1300 278 3589.
Thank you very much, Ashley, for your time, and congratulations on the work you do. And I hope this career with the RSPCA works out well for you.
Thank you so much, Elaine. I really appreciate it. And thanks for your time on your program.
And I've just been speaking to Ashley Stevenson, the Operations Manager of the RSPCA. And I think that's about all we have time for today. You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks, research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Elaine Jontek. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.